Hello, everyone, and welcome. Too many of us are going through life stressed, anxious, depressed, and alone. We carry scars from our past that follow us into the future. But what we've seen as weakness turns out to be our greatest strength. We are not the damaged, the defective, or the weak. We are the unbroken. Hello once again, Unbroken Family. I am your host, Pete Bucher. It's a delight and a privilege and an honor to be here with you, as always, as we continue moving through this healing process that I call Visage, the six-step process of visualize, identify, shift, align, grow, and evolve. And in this episode, we really move into the fifth step, the growth step, the growing edge of moving forward. It's really exciting. And it will simplify, I think it will help you frame a lot of the issues that you face in your day-to-day life, even if the previous steps didn't make a lot of sense to you. Even if you're like, I don't know what this guy is talking about. This episode presents your life in a very practical and manageable sense. So I think you'll like this. This was very, very helpful to me when I kind of had these realizations. And again, it took me a long time to have these realizations. And so I'm packaging them for you in a neatly packaged and tightened up with a little bow on top type of way. So I hope you resonate with this. I think you will. And certainly keep the stories coming. Keep the shares coming. Keep the questions coming through my email, Instagram, direct message me there. Sometimes I'm not the most savvy on Instagram all the time. Sometimes your message goes to the request and then I have to find that. And so sometimes I miss those for a little while before I catch them, but please send messages. Instagram, Pete is unbroken at Pete is unbroken, or click the link just to email me directly in the show notes down below the episode here. And let me know how you're doing. Let me know if you have questions or if I can clear something up for you that you've heard in these episodes. So I really kind of want to get into the meat of this episode because there's some really cool stuff here. So what does it mean to grow? Well, in the alignment episode where I talked about nurturing your true self by meeting the true self's six desires, live, love, grow, play, create, and give. Growth is a necessary component of life. We're always growing. Life itself is a growth process, you could say. But growth is something that you desire in your core. And on this journey, growth is tantamount to healing. We continue healing. We continue coming into a state of fullness, into a state of wholeness by continuing to move forward and to grow. And then ultimately to evolve, which the two sound quite a bit alike, and there are some similarities, but I'm going to separate the evolve step out into its own step, and I'll show you why when we get there, and for a really important and practical reason. So I want to frame this conversation. There's a lot that could be said about growth, and whatever it is that you're doing, just keep doing that. It's fine if you're going to 12-step groups, if you're doing therapy, if you're reading self-help books, keep doing that. Those are all fantastic ways to help yourself continue to grow. But when I'm talking about growth, in this episode, we're going to frame it in the context of your everyday, actual life. How to frame the difficulties that you have, things that crop up, how you can face them, solve them, and learn something new and move forward. And so in order to do that, I'm going to explain something to you that really came to me more on my spiritual part of my journey, which I think the human life is a spiritual journey, but that's another topic for another time. But this really came to me through the spiritual practices that I've been increasingly involved in the last 10 or 11 years. But it's so practical, guys, that I really want to share it with you here. And that is this. We've talked a lot about the ego, this self that you create to protect yourself or to wall yourself off from things that are frightening or things that are traumatic or the deeper pain that you felt as a kid. And then moving that out of the way so that your true self can emerge by meeting these six desires, by learning to deal with your own thoughts and emotions in real time, by bringing your relationships into alignment, into a place of truth. But this ego that you have is always trying to solve one of three problems. I call these the three conflicts of the ego. And that's a fancy name. You don't have to call it that. You call it whatever you want. The three buckets or the three silos or the three whatever in which all your problems exist. And we'll go through them in a particular order. And here's the three conflicts. Anytime you're uncomfortable, any challenge, any difficulty you face in your life is going to fall into one of three categories. It's either that you are in conflict with yourself or your concept or your perception of yourself. You're in conflict with reality as it is, which could be life circumstances, situations, the news you watch on TV, how other people are acting. But reality, and again, the only thing that's true in reality is what's actually happening. So when you observe that, you say, oh, that's the reality I'm experiencing. And when you're in conflict with that, it creates stress, it creates anxiety or turmoil or reactivity, triggering, causes us to go down the rabbit holes. We talked, had a whole episode on triggers and rabbit holes. So me with reality as it is, or my own need for belonging. And I'm saying the first person, but it's you. So your relationship with yourself, your relationship with reality, and your relationship with your own need for belonging or your own need for acceptance. And while on the surface it sounds very simple, and you say, well, it can't be that easy, there's got to be other things, I challenge you to find something that's outside of one of those three categories. And when we look at that, we say, wow, okay, well, if all my problems fall into one of those three categories, if I can find a way to bring each of those three things into balance in my life is going to take on a much better feeling state. And the truth is, it does. We bring balance to those three areas: your relationship with yourself, which we've been working on until now, your relationship with reality as it is. And we've talked a little bit about that as far as in relation to other people, but I'm going to give you a real simple way to work with reality as it is in this episode. And your need for belonging. And we've talked a little bit again about that in the relationship stuff, but I'm going to give you again a very simple thing to pay attention to when it comes to the stress, the turmoil, the strife that comes from feeling rejected, feeling let down, being in relationships that are imbalanced or toxic or conflicted. We're going to boil these three things down to something very simple for you. And something interesting about the three conflicts is that the way we solve them typically are in reverse order from the way that they actually developed to begin with. So if you remember when we talked about the beginning, your brokenness belief arose from something we called the initial wounding. The first time you internalized a belief that you yourself were defective or weak or different or off or needed to be some other way to gain love, to gain acceptance, to be noticed, to feel enough, whatever it was for you. So the three conflicts, we start engaging with these three conflicts with the need for belonging. We need to fit in. We need to be accepted. And as we start to fight this fight, if we start to try to sort this out, as a little kid, egocentric, we think, okay, I must be the problem because these people or this person is treating me this way or doing these things to me or acting this way around me or neglecting me or leaving me or abandoning me or whatever it is. And so the first thing we try to do is just start to try controlling our environment. So the need for belonging is first. The conflict with reality as it is comes second. And then the trying to sort myself out and having these conflicts with me as I am comes third. But the way we typically try to solve them is we get to some point in life, our coping mechanisms are no longer working, our relationships are toxic, things aren't going well in our lives, we're tired of feeling bad. So what do? We start reading books, we start going to therapy, we start trying to figure out me. And as I start to figure out me, then I notice that things around me start to change. And then that can feel a little bit unsettling, so then I'm trying to deal with reality as it is, and other people as they are. And then as I start to get a little more skillful with that, then I start working on my relationships and my need for belonging. And I come into an acceptance of myself and loving myself and bringing that into harmony. Now, this is a little bit oversimplified and it's a generalization, but in general, they form from need for belonging to problem with reality to problem with me as I am, because now we're trying to wrestle with me to make me fit better into the world in which I'm living and into relation with other people. And then we start to try to solve them in reverse order. So I'll go through them in the order that we try to solve them because it makes the most sense to me. Because most of you, if you're on a healing journey, are going to be wrestling with you as you are. That's where it starts. I feel unworthy. I don't feel enough. I'm tired of feeling like I have to be a perfect all the time. I'm tired of feeling like I have to be the one to give all the time. I'm tired of being triggered into anger all the time. I'm tired of being depressed all the time. I'm trying to get off of drugs or alcohol or out of codependency. And I'm tired of feeling this way. So it starts with me. And there really are, everything we've covered to date has been an attempt to help you come into a healthier relationship with yourself, first of all. Who am I really? Underneath this shell, this armor of ego, who really lives in here? And how do I get that person comfortable in her or his own skin? How do I feel content just being me as I am? That's what we've been working on so far. And the next step is we start to ask deeper questions. And a spiritual hero of mine, an Indian guy named Ramana Maharshi, you don't have to remember his name, you don't have to believe anything he taught. But he said, there's only two questions you ever need to ask yourself. And these questions are amazing. And they sound simple on the surface until you really start working with them and you realize how deep they go. He said, the only two questions you ever need to ask yourself as you're trying to sort out who you really are is one is, who am I? And you can add the word really if you want to. Who am I really? And the second question is what do I want? And you can emphasize any of the words in that sentence and change the question. What do I want? What do I want? What do I want? What do I want? Becomes a different question depending on what words you emphasize. So this is where like contemplative practices like meditation or centering prayer, contemplative prayer, or just closing your eyes and just relaxing for a few minutes, listening to an app on your phone, whatever it is. And just ask the question and don't try to logically figure it out. Just notice what comes. Who am I? Who lives in here? Really? And what does that person want? In a partner? In a job? How do I want to feel? How much money do I want to make? Whatever it is. Who am I? And what do I want? And the more you work with these questions and the more answers you get, and the answers will evolve over time. You just work with what comes today. And you start living in accordance with that. I just want people to be nice to me. Okay, well, let's work on that. I just want to feel better in my own skin. Okay, well, let's work on that. Who am I? I don't know who I am. I've never known who I was. Okay, that's an okay answer. That's appropriate for the history that brings us to this point. But what a gift to ask that question and just consider the possibility that at some point you'll start to get some answers. Who am I really? You start to know yourself. Finally, after all this time of burying yourself, of feeling shameful about yourself, of loathing yourself, of hating yourself maybe. And you start to realize there's no one here to be shameful about. There's no one here to loathe. And then you start working through those layers. Who am I? What do I want? Very powerful questions. And much deeper than we can get into in an episode like this, where there's other things we're talking about, and certainly trying to keep it in a reasonable amount of time. But I just want to introduce the concept, just asking these simple questions. Who am I? What do I want? And give yourself permission to really answer those questions and to ask them over and over and over and over again, and watch how the answers evolve. And more importantly, watch how your life starts to evolve as you ask those questions. Reality as it is. The second conflict. This one's a little harder because in the beginning, we don't realize that there are options for reality. Most of us live under the assumption that there's some reality happening and somehow I don't fit into it. But 75% of people walk around in this world with that orientation. So if 75% of people walk around feeling like there's some reality happening and I don't feel a part of it, then we know that that can't be correct. The vast majority of people feel that way. So what's normal is feeling that way. But what we know is that reality itself is relative, and we don't have to get too fancy into that here. But you get into something that I call the reality gap, and this is where all of our stress, anxiety, depressed feelings, triggering, all this stuff happens in what I call the reality gap. There is what's happening, and then there is what I wish were happening, or what I think should be happening. And the further apart those two things are, the more tension, the more emotion you're going to feel about it. So the more I can come to an acceptance of reality as it is, and the closer those two things come together, the less stress, anxiety, tension, consternation I'm going to feel. And here's the trick. If you're thinking, if you're all upset, somebody has said something, done something, not done something you thought they should do, and you're all upset, and you catch your thoughts or you catch yourself saying things like would, could, should, if he'd only done this, well, he should just have done this. Should have, would have, could have, if only, if this could have happened, then this would have happened. Then you know you're in the reality gap. You're not tracking reality as it is. You have resistance to reality. That is stress. That's the definition of stress. Resistance to what is. It doesn't mean you have to like what is. It means you have to acknowledge it truthfully. Okay, well, he did do this. He did say that. And so your only job to bring your relationship with reality into balance. It really is this simple, guys. Is to notice what happened, what someone said, what the event was, what you saw on the news, whatever. And just say, okay, so given that this is the reality, so right away we acknowledge it. Given that this is the reality, who do I choose to be in response? And what do I choose to do in response? I'm going to be angry and I'm going to yell about it. Okay, that's a choice that you're making. We don't think of it that way. We often just react. But if you can notice something and you go, wait a second, I'm all upset because I keep thinking about what should have happened or shouldn't have happened. Or if they would just have done this, then I wouldn't have had to feel this. Yes, but the reality is this did happen and I am feeling this. So now what? Who am I choosing to be? And what am I choosing to do in response? And if we go back to our relationship triangles, for instance, you might say, well, what I'm going to choose to do is say, you know, that made me really unhappy. And what I would prefer you do next time is this. And we choose something skillful. But this does also become about owning your choices, about coming to grips with the reality in which you're living. Many of us live in toxic relationships that continue the cycles of abuse or that continues the cycles of shame that we grew up in. And sometimes, guys, we have to get really honest about that. And it sucks. It sucks. And in the next couple of weeks, you're going to hear some stories of people who have written books and are sharing their stories about waking up to the reality of what happened and how they came to grips with childhood sexual abuse and incest in one case, or living with an abusive narcissist in another. And these are all things that we can relate to. And whether those were your situations or not, I guarantee there's parts of their story that will hit home for you. But the first step of healing is getting honest. This is happening. This did happen. Now what? And it can suck, but it is the first step towards freedom, and it is the continuing path to freedom in your life. Acknowledge reality. Decide who to be and what to do in response. I'm telling you, if you learn nothing else from me ever in your life, if you never listen to another minute of this show, and that's the only thing you ever remember, it will serve you well for the rest of your days. This is reality. Now what? Who am I choosing to be? What will I choose to do in response? This is what he said. This is what happened. This is what she did, whatever it is. This is what I did. Some of the harshest realizations are looking in the mirror. Okay, so I did cause this pain for the other person. Now what? Am I going to continue to be defiant and act like nothing happened? Or am I going to acknowledge it? Make an apology or make an amends? Whatever it is. This did happen. This is happening. This is the reality of the situation. Now what? Who will I choose to be? What will I choose to do? If you just keep asking that, you will bring your relationship with reality into balance, I promise you. And you don't have to live in the reality gap and be stressed, tense, anxious, depressed anymore. You can start to come into a realistic, truthful life for yourself. By the way, as you do that, the questions to who am I and what do I want also start to become more clear. These are interdependent one with another. And the third conflict is our own relationship with our own need for belonging. And I've parsed this over time, looked at all angles of this. I've done the relationship triangles that I've shared with you a couple different times now. I've done all this stuff. Ultimately, the only thing I find it comes down to, for me, and you may have something different, but this is so powerful, guys. Again, this is another one of those things. If you learn nothing else, learn this, and it will save you a great deal of heartache, pain, abuse, toxicity, conflict, drama, trauma, everything. If you want to bring your need for belonging into balance, simply pay attention to the dynamic of your own personal sovereignty. And that's a fancy word for freedom or autonomy or ability just to be yourself, make your own choices, live your own life, however you want to say it. Personal sovereignty versus your need for feeling secure. Your need for security. Sovereignty versus security. And if that doesn't make sense, it's fine. Just hold on to it. At some point, it will click. And here's a very common example. I had a conversation several times now, but one in particular comes to mind. A person who was thinking about becoming a client of mine and working with me. And the problem was, is that her boyfriend, who she lived with, was toxic. He was a jerk. He was abusive. He was controlling, manipulative. Her self-esteem was in the dumps. She was depressed. She was physically ill from it. And she wanted help. And so I said, okay, well, here's what it takes to work with me. I talked about the commitment. I talked about the workload. Cool with all that. And I said, and here's what, you know, my fee for that work is. And she said, well, okay, seems reasonable. But I have to ask my boyfriend if it's okay for me to spend the money. So I want you just to process that for a second. Because on the surface, you go, yeah, of course she's going to ask the boyfriend if she can spend the money. But the problem is that the boyfriend was not ever supportive of her doing anything to better or improve or do something positive for herself. Because then that made him feel insecure. So she wouldn't leave the boyfriend to go live her own life and make choices for herself and do her own thing, which would be sovereignty. She stayed in a toxic, abusive, controlling, manipulative relationship because she felt secure. In the meantime, on the surface, he was more sovereign. He was getting his needs met to be in control and do all the stuff. But he really wasn't free either, because he had to be constantly in control of her. So codependency and toxic and abusive relationships are very heavily weighted into security for both people. There's very little personal freedom and sovereignty. A healthy relationship involves two people that are heavily weighted into sovereignty. I can be myself. My partner can be herself. And we're both excited for the other person to be fully her or himself. And then we meet in the middle and we have this relationship together that nurtures us, that supports us. And sometimes she needs more of my help. Sometimes I need more of her help. But in the end, we support each other's sovereignty. And the security comes from that support. It's a healthy form of security, not a toxic or conflicted or codependent version. Which, frankly, guys, I didn't even know existed. I always just knew the other version. The security piece, the holding on too tight, the control. Either I was too controlling or the other person was too controlling. But if that element wasn't there, I didn't know what to do in a relationship. Until I started to get okay in my own skin. Until I started to love myself, respect myself, realize what I really wanted, what I really deserved. And that true love doesn't feel like conflict or control at all. It feels like freedom with a choice of committing to another person because you value that person as a human and you want that person to thrive and they want you to thrive. It's a very different feeling. So I hope this makes sense. If you want to continue to grow, and then the thing is that when these things are out of balance and it does feel toxic, you do feel confused. It does feel like the old way again. Those are the times to stop yourself and say, wait a second. Okay, what's out of balance? My relationship with me, my relationship with reality, or my need for belonging? Sometimes it's more than one. But you know how to bring them into balance. Wait a second. Okay, remember who I am. Remember what I want. Do I want someone that yells at me and demeans me? No, I really don't. Okay. Well, if I'm with someone who yells at me and demeans me and it's not what I want, what's out of balance? My need for belonging. I'm choosing security over my own personal freedom, over my ability just to be myself and feel good about it. So now I need to come into reality and see it truthfully and go, yeah, this person's never going to let me be that way. Now I have to decide, who am I going to be? What am I going to do? Maybe they're open to talking. Maybe you realize you're never going to get there, and you have to make a choice about staying or leaving the relationship. That's a hard example. Most examples aren't that difficult. They just require little subtle shifts. Who am I? What do I want? This is reality. Who am I choosing to be? What am I going to choose to do? A need for belonging is sovereignty versus security. If you can bring those three things into balance, I guarantee you your life is going to improve. You're going to feel a lot better in your own skin. You're going to feel more calm. You're going to feel more content. And you're also going to feel more confident, because you're making choices that are aligned with the truth of who you are, which brings the first four steps all into balance right away. Brings them all to fruition right away. So you continue to pay attention to these. You continue to bring them into balance. At first, it gets hard. First, you really have to kind of work at it. You have to really catch yourself and pay attention. And then pretty quickly, guys, it starts to become natural. And you become very aware, at least, of where you're out of balance in life. And yeah, maybe there's some heavy lifts that need to happen to get to start bringing these things back into balance. But you do a couple of those heavy lifts, then it becomes easier and easier and easier. And then life starts to roll much more smoothly. And then you start to ask yourself, okay, but what if I backslide? That's where we get into the step about evolution. So we'll talk about that in the next episode. So I hope this is making sense. I hope that you feel, if you're going through this in stepwise fashion, you're really paying attention, you're doing the work. I know some of you are, because you're reaching out to me. You're telling me about things in your life that are changing because of this particular content, this particular process that we're going through. If you're going through it, hopefully you're starting to experience at least some new things in your life. Sometimes you might be experiencing new problems, but experiencing new problems sometimes is a sign of progress, actually. Oh, these are new problems I've never had before. Okay, good. That means something has changed. It may not be fun at first, but it is a sign of progress. But I promise you, you stay on this path, the problems will get less and less as time goes on. You just stay committed. It's an act of devotion. What is devotion? Commitment infused with love. Devotion to yourself, to your own health, to your own healing, to your own well-being is commitment to yourself infused with love for yourself. And self-love, self-acceptance is the very nature of the healing that we're after. It is the process that we're in. So more on this to come in the next episode. In the coming weeks, you'll get some examples of this with people who have been through it. They've written books, they're telling stories, they're working with people, helping other people come into healing, come into wholeness, get out of toxic patterns, re-embrace their own personal power, live in their own truth. I'm excited to share those stories with you. One more episode, we'll be through this six-step process, and we'll get into some of those stories. So until then, I hope that healing follows you everywhere you go, that love meets you at every step. And if the only voice in your ear is saying, that's telling you that you are loved and appreciated and accepted exactly as you are, the only voice telling you that is mine, then I've done my job. And I can't wait for you to hear some of these stories that are coming up. So I'm going to leave it here for this episode. We are almost through this process. Pay attention to these three conflicts. See if you can start bringing them into balance. The more balance you bring to these, and it's work, it's not like they all get balanced and all of a sudden you're done. You're constantly, paying attention, noticing, making little nip-tuck adjustments, keeping yourself on the path so that you can continue living a life with the truthful experience of being unbroken.